Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently. Now, here's your hosts, Stephen Scott and Robin Christofferson.
Oh, hello, how are you? Welcome along to another Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, here, and I'm going to do something different this week. I'm going to change up a bit this week on the show. I'm going to introduce Andy first. Hello, Andy.
Oh, what a pleasure that is. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Well, do you know, we're not exclusive here, all right? It's not an exclusive place, so you're welcome. You are a welcome body.
You're feeling bad after leaving me out last week, wasn't it?
That might have something to do with it, yeah. Although in saying that, with our all-star panel, we really did have a lot to talk about, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, a jam-packed show.
It was a very busy show last week. Great one with David Woodbridge and Robin Spinks. Check it out in the podcast if you haven't already. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet is back here with us. Hello.
Glad to be back, as always.
And we're going to be talking about lots of interesting tech news this week. Apparently, Amazon are going to be launching... well, we don't know how many, but lots of new products. That's all we can really say at this point. Because one thing about Amazon is, unlike every other tech company, they don't give anything away. You know, there's no leaks, there's nothing, we're not getting any hints at all. There's lots of rumours kicking around. Because, of course, there was a big event around about this time last year where they brought out 12 new products. Oh, I'm hoping they bring out some good ones this time. I'm going to give you my thoughts. Robin's got a few thoughts as well. And then we're going to discuss what on earth we're going to do with an Amazon robot. because I think some of us want one, but we don't really know why. Anyway, we're going to get into that today. Also, TechShare Pro's coming up. Robin, you're going to tell us about that, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And as well as that, Robin's been getting his Echo Dot out again for a special review because a new feature has been added that is available here in the UK. It was in the US for a while. It's now available here. If you don't like the speed of Lady A's voice, you can increase it or you can slow it down. So we're going to talk about that, plus lots more. We've got emails galore for you this week as well. So plenty to talk about in this week's Tech Talk. Wait for it. Wait for it. There. Right, that's what we wait on every time. Andy, you've got a bucket load of emails to get through for us, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yes. I think the last count was 25.
No,
yes.
That can't be right.
And
well,
counting. There are probably more before I've even finished.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's so hard to keep up. Well, we're going to get through some of those today. I don't know if we've gone through all of them, but we will definitely try.
Good.
Also, I just want to talk before we get into the emails about the Apple event. So I might have bought something. I'm just putting out there, I might have bought something from the event.
Mm-hmm.
Are you shocked at this?
No. Oh, okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, minus something.
Well, I got myself a new iPhone. I don't know why, if I'm totally honest, because after last week's event, you might have thought, well, you know, they've all kind of gone away from this feeling a little bit defeated, perhaps, because it didn't seem like the big event we all hoped it would be. We didn't get the one more thing, as you said, Robin. But actually, I did go away and think about it, and the new iPhone did appeal. The camera is incredible in it. I got the iPhone Pro Max 256 gig version in space black, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down, ladies. It is gorgeous. It is a lovely little phone, and a big phone. That's not little in any sense. It is huge. It is a big phone. And you might think, well, why would you want this, considering the fact that you're, you know, literally turning the screen off and you're not using the touchscreen, really? I mean, I use it with a Bluetooth keyboard, which I also bought one of those this week as well. But the truth is, it's such a good phone. It's very powerful. And with VoiceOver enabled, I have noticed a big difference in terms of the speed of this phone compared to some of the other ones that I've tried in the past. Had the iPhone XS and it was good, don't get me wrong, but this is better. And I'll be honest, I think the build of these phones is much nicer. If you don't choose to have a case, it's a much thicker phone, a much heavier phone, I would say. But that will obviously be because of the larger battery inside the phone. But it's quite a heavy phone to hold. But I quite like that. I like to know I've got it in my hand, whereas I found the XS being a little bit slippery, not as easy to hold without a case on it. So I quite like that. And obviously the camera is amazing, so I know it's going to be taking great pictures. I know we're going to create great video with it. I know that if I'm using Seeing AI or I'm using an app, that requires maybe like Be My Eyes, for example, they're going to get a great picture of that. So, you know, really good. And also, I just wanted a new phone because why not?
We all know that's the reason. Yeah. So battery life, it's an extra 4 to 5 hours, isn't it, over the 11, 10, no, 10S. 10,
the 10S,
Max.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because it's so for those who aren't kind of following this or are struggling to follow it, because it isn't the easiest, let's be honest, the 10R has been replaced by the 11, and the 10S has been replaced by the 11 Pro, and then, of course, the Pro Max, which is the larger one. My dad, he got an 11 in purple for some reason, and he really likes it. He thinks it's nice. And I think the screen size isn't that far off, this one. I can't remember the exact screen sizes. It does feel like a big phone as well, and again, quite heavy for the 11.
So you've got the Pro Max. That's 6.5 inch.
6.5 inch, is it?
Whereas
right?
the iPhone 11 is just 6.1 inch.
Ah, so that's it, yes. Difference. That's the difference. It's not a huge difference, though, really.
So I'm interested to know how the size compares to something like the Plus versions, that some people may have felt the Plus versions that haven't felt the Max versions. So is it as big as the Plus, or is it slightly smaller because it's got no bezels?
Well, it's an interesting one because you don't have as much as you're right. The bezel is kind of gone. So, for example, my wife had a 6S Plus, which was out a good few years ago, as you know. That is a big phone.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there's actually a smaller screen in there. I think you've only got a 5.7-inch screen. But then you've got all this bezel around about it and all the rest, whereas all that's taken away. A larger screen inside a much smaller enclosure makes it actually just about the same size as that 6S
right.
Plus. The only thing I'd say, and this is something I've noticed, my dad, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he's quite disabled with his hands. He's got some serious issues with his hands due to cerebral palsy. And when he holds the phone with his left hand, because of the way his hands are, he's always touching the screen because, you know, the bezel's gone. So you're always touching the screen and he's trying to tap on the screen, but he's having problems because he's still touching the screen at the same time. So the screen doesn't recognise... It's getting two touches at once. And that's a bit of an issue. So that's something to consider as well. You know, if you're trying to hold the phone, you might wonder why it's not working for you. It might be because you've got a finger somewhere on the screen. Again, Face ID, no Touch ID. We're expecting to see that return next year. And I'll probably buy one of those as well because I'm just mad like that. but I just think I think it's a really nice phone. It is unusual for me to buy the Max. I don't quite know why I did it. I'm still not entirely sure it was the right decision. I'm still within my 14-day cooling-off period. I may change it for a Pro. But
the Pro is considerably smaller as well, at 5.8 inches. So, yeah, you're dropping a hell of a lot of size there.
It is a huge difference in size, yeah.
Yeah,
so, but, you know, again, does it matter to me? So, I mean, this is one of the kind of ironies about all this. I bought a phone which has got the most amazing camera in the world. It's got the best screen you could ever imagine. I hardly use the camera, really. And because I can't see the benefit of it, and I turn the screen off. So it seems a bit pointless in some ways when you think about it, which is kind of why I guess I was hoping for an iPhone SE 2, you know, something that would be a bit more, you know, portable, a bit smaller, but not so worrisome about the screen. Robin, you're very quiet. I'm assuming you're thinking I'm an idiot for buying this.
Not at all. In fact, if you were to use the camera ever, all of the reports since we recorded last say that the camera is exceptional in just doing what it does.
Yeah.
And it does it live. So if you had any vision at all, it's such a big screen, you could get a really good idea of the lighting. It automatically goes into night mode, as we discussed last time. But you can seamlessly switch between the three cameras. And there's been a huge amount of congratulations from camera buffs that they managed to take three separate cameras with three different lenses, three different sensors inside, to seamlessly switch between them on as you zoom in and out. The only wrinkle, so I think it's absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt that they will take better pictures if you just press the button. The only wrinkle is that the wide camera, if that's involved in the shot, depending on how you've zoomed in or out, because it's such a wide field of view, people are getting their pinkies in the photo that never used to before. So you have to hold, you're holding it wrong.
Right, okay, because of course I could see that field of view now that I couldn't see before. That is interesting. I do use the camera, and when I turn the screen on, I mean, there was a time when I could probably get... I mean, I can see something on the screen. I'm not great at framing pictures. I mean, and we can talk a bit about that as well. There have been a few improvements to the software. So, for example, if you've got VoiceOver turned on and you're not holding the camera steady, it will tell you to tilt the screen, mm-hmm. or it will give you an audible sound that tells you that it's actually now level. And obviously, it will also tell you how many people are in shot. It's brilliant for all of that. I can see the screen enough to maybe tell I'm taking a picture of Andy, for example, but I couldn't tell what Andy's doing in the picture, which is why I never take pictures of Andy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I also, you know, I can maybe look back at that picture when it's taken, but I wouldn't really get much sense of what's going on in it. So for me, it's not brilliant, but for people like you, Andy, mm-hmm. and for anybody, I mean, I'm thinking about Robin Spinks last week. He's got, a reasonable amount of useful vision. He would love this phone. He would absolutely love it. It wouldn't surprise me if he's bought one already.
I'm going to be very interested to see how the camera holds up against two of the better Android phones for taking pictures.
You can't even say that.
I'm being devil's advocate here. I have to be because I'm an Android
user. Pixel 4.
And when you've got Pixel 4, possibly, but the two on the market right now being the Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus and the Huawei P30 Pro, which both are incredible for pictures. So I'm really going to look forward to seeing all of these YouTube reviewers who go out with all three cameras on a tripod and taking pictures of just about everything to see how it compares.
Now, I didn't buy anything. Surprise, surprise. One data point, though, is that my sister did after hearing all of the new announcements, and she bought an 8.
Ah, well, that's a sensible idea.
Fantastic bargain, yeah.
As I call it, the blind iPhone.
and hopefully that will see her through until the next one that has, in-screen Touch ID. And
I'll be honest, I was kind of tempted to send back the 11 Pro and get an 8 just to annoy everybody in my family. But I think I'll probably stick with it for now. I may change my mind. You know, a couple of weeks' time. You know what I'm like, guys? I do tend to change my mind a little bit.
It's only money.
It's only money, exactly. Who needs it? I did also buy an Apple Watch Series 5. Did I mention that?
And it looks very, very nice.
It is a lovely watch. So, interestingly, I, again, turned the screen off on my my Apple Watch. However, interesting little thing here. Screen curtain only works when the watch is looking at you. So when you raise your wrist to look at the watch and the time shows up, that's when screen curtain kicks in. But the all-day view or the always-on display kicks in as soon as you lower your wrist. How weird is that, right?
And is that not a toggle?
It doesn't seem to be, no. Okay. Unless there is an always-on toggle somewhere else in the settings on the watch. But certainly within accessibility, the option is screen curtain on or off. But it doesn't turn the screen off when it's off, if that makes any sense. It's so bizarre. It's as if they've forgotten that bit. So the screen is always on for everyone else to see. As soon as you actually look at it, it goes off. That's weird. So I don't know what I think about that. I actually, for that reason, have just left it on because it seems crazy not to have it on in that respect. And what I'm using is the very large, the extra large new style, which is very thick, very bold numbers that I have to say are a bit, they're quite tightly packed together. It depends, I think, on your vision. I can almost make out the time. I wish they did it in 12-hour clock rather than 24-hour. It'd probably be just that bit easier. Again, maybe that's something that can be changed, but it's a really nice watch. It has got some lovely features. The key thing for me is it's cellular versus the one I had before, which was just Wi-Fi. So here's the thing. At the weekend, my mother and I we had some errands to run. So we went out on the Sunday. I decided at that point I wasn't going to take the phone with me. I was going to leave the iPhone at home and just go with the watch. So I get my AirPods, pop one in. I connect it via the Bluetooth, obviously, so now I can hear VoiceOver from the watch into my earpod. And I take my house keys, and that's it. And I head out. And I was able to make calls, send texts. I was able to pay for things using Apple Pay. So, you know, interestingly, we're starting to get to a point where, you know, I'm really starting to like this cellular approach. Do I really need to have the iPhone out and about? I don't know.
Is that the future?
It's my future.
Going away from phones and moving into wearable devices has been...
Yeah, but it needs to improve a lot. So you can't do Facebook on it. You can read messages and things. You can do certain things on it, but there's certain things you can't do. Like, I don't think you can go through your Twitter or Facebook feed yet. That may change if it isn't, if it hasn't already.
I just think with the advancement of these bendable phones now and the flexible screens, that eventually these screens will end up on our wrists, and that we will have the new stage of technology. Once iPhone have run, one Apple have run out of iPhone ideas. Well, let's change everything now.
You're such glasses. An Android fan, aren't you?
Yes,
glasses. Android fan.
Yes, glasses.
Heads-up display.
Well, yeah. Glasses and wristwear.
That'll be good. Well, glasses is next year. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
October event.
I've not got any inside knowledge here. Tim Cook didn't not personally call me and say, "Hey, listen, Stephen, you might want to let people know." He's okay with marketing. I think they've got that sussed over at Apple. I just want to mention one more thing I bought this week, which is a bit less excitable, but for me, it's great. It's a Logitech K380 Bluetooth wireless keyboard. I've always been buying these really cheap ones that you get online. You know, the little foldable keyboards, almost like clamshell types. I tried the Microsoft foldable universal keyboard. It's really nice as well. Again, it folds, but it's got a big gap down the middle where the fold is, and I don't like that. And you know, some of them, the keys don't work so well on the cheaper ones. So I bought this. I bought the Logitech. It's basically the size of the Apple Magic keyboard, really. It's very small. It's laptop style. It's not desktop. It doesn't have the extended. But it does have enough, and I've hooked it to my phone, and I'm loving it. I'm just loving it. And it's got three options. You can connect it to three different devices and just easily toggle between them with the little switches. It's a really easy keyboard to use. And what I will say is, for those of you out there who always tell me about Bluetooth lag, you don't get any of that with this. Now, that could be because of the Bluetooth 5, I think, that's inside the iPhone 11 Pro. So maybe it's something to do with that. But working with all the elements together, like right now I'm sitting here, all my notes are coming from my iPhone through my earpod via the keyboard for input. I'm loving it.
So to me there, the killer feature is that switch. It's a manual switch, isn't it, that you can just flick between three different devices. So none
it's
of
not
this
even
pairing.
A switch. It's actually just keys on the function row. So there's three keys on the function row. Just after the escape key, there's three separate keys, and you can just decide which one for which device. And I have it between my laptop in the office, got it between my computer at home, and my iPhone. I mean, seamless. Brilliant.
And it cost?
What did this cost me? I think it cost me £30.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No,
it's
not.
I was expecting more than that.
No, yeah. I think it was as much as that. I think it was like 25. It's not. There are other ones you can get.
Yeah.
That are bigger, and you can get the full size desktop one that can. You can have iPads. Some have even got jog wheels on them. But for me, portability is the key.
Yeah.
I love the size of this thing.
It fits nicely onto a train table, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and commuting. That's exactly it. And yeah. I did use it on a train last week, and I loved it. And interestingly, I also bought for it, and this is a shame, really, an utter disgrace when you think about it. I did buy it its own case.
Oh, your credit card must be red hot by now.
Yeah, let's just say money to burn. Didn't tell my wife that it was her credit card. Anyway, let's get to the emails. Come on.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
We did actually get an email about this jingle, which we'll get to later.
Is it get rid of it?
I think pretty much is get rid of it. Yeah, that really annoys me, was one of the emails I read
this
week.
It's the doorbell. I don't understand the doorbell.
I don't get the point of a doorbell in an inbox. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. Andy, you're the producer. You can fix that later.
Will do.
Okay.
Make a note of that.
Thank you, if you don't mind. Okay, let's get to the emails then. And what's our first one?
So this first one is from Tommy. It says, "Hi, guys.
Hi.
I would like to tell you about my efforts to get a smart meter that talks to you. I am blind. I contacted Scottish Power, who said that they had no idea what I was talking about. I told them that I'd heard on Tech Talk that they would be issued this summer. I then got a call from a gentleman at Scottish Power who said that they had not bought any from the RNIB. I told them that this was wrong and that they should be issued to people like myself, as I have a smart meter that is no use to me. Keep up the good work." That's from Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy. How many times do we have to go through this, eh? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And this is not aimed at you, Tommy. This is aimed at the energy companies. You know, this is just ridiculous. Okay, so let me explain. For anybody who's listening who might be from an energy company, oh, if only that were true, but let's imagine that someone can get this who's in an energy company. You're not buying them from the RNIB. You've already paid for them. You did this as part of an association with all of the other energy companies. You did this. You agreed to this. We've gone through this, I don't know how many times on the show. So the RNIB worked with all of the energy companies too, and it wasn't just RNIB, but other organisations were involved as well. But essentially they helped create the talking, accessible in-home display. Really important we get this right, because there's a bit of confusion around, I think, what these devices are, what they mean. When people talk about smart meters, what are we actually talking about? Someone who might be able to help with some of this, actually, is one of our callers who we've got on the line, because I know he is very keen to tell us all about smart meters. Robert joins us now on the line. Hi to you, Robert. How are you today?
I'm all right, thank you, Steve. It's a great show all the time.
Oh, you're very kind. Listen, thank you for getting in touch, because you wanted to talk about smart meters. You found out some information about them.
Yes, I have.
Tell us all then.
And I don't know if people know the old type meters, where somebody used to come and read the meters, the dials on the meters, and then they go away and send you the bill afterwards. But now the meters are called smart meters, and the way they work is through the internet, and it goes to the main office where they got numbers, and somehow they work it and they take the bills from the actual reading through the internet, and you get the bills that way now. Going on to the trackers, which are in the kitchen, and most people get them mixed up between that and the smart meters on the actual meters. Are all in one. They're not.
Yeah, because there's like two different things here, isn't it? Because there's the smart meter, which is the bit that connects in the wall, right, in the house. And then you've got the accessible in-home display, which is actually what you've got in the kitchen, in your case.
Yeah. The actual smart meters are fixed to the electricity supply coming from outside the houses.
That's right.
Yeah, The trackers, which are fixed into the kitchen, which works through the electricity system, which actually it's worked by transmitting and receiving links between the meters and the tracker. And that's how it all works.
So do you know, I mean, did you have to use internet with it, or did it just work?
No. It's what is it? You know what's it when they've got the security fences and you've got two little arms sticking up each side to say something, and you've got a kind of a visible line going from A to B, and when you go through that line, it breaks.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
It sounds like the transmitting and the receiving is wavelengths.
Right.
And,
okay.
And when you press the buttons to ask it something, and then that sends the message to the meters, and then in a quick flash, then the meter sends back to the tracker, and that's how it's all worked.
And did you get a talking display?
No. I didn't that time, because this is the upgrade one. I got S-something-2, regardless of numbers. And then when I was talking to the electricity company last week, and I said to him about the talking displays, and he said, just a minute, he went off, come back. He said, yeah, the engineer will be in contact within the next few days, and I'll be getting a talking tracker.
So you will get one?
Yes. And, hang on. And I'm with South Southern Electricity, or SSE.
Right, that's interesting. Okay, so did you ask for that, or did they advise that they would give you one?
Well, no, I actually asked this time round, because you and your colleagues and people were phoning in saying about the talking trackers and that.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people have been saying they've been asking their supplier, haven't they? And they've been saying, well, no, we don't have them. So it's good to know that you've managed to get one. They do exist. They are out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, so they've only just recently received them.
Right.
And soon as I get confirmation and it's in the kitchen, then I'll give you another call and saying that, yes, I got it, and you might be able to do another recording with me playing with it.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good. Robert, thank you so much for getting in touch, and thank you for listening.
That's right, Steve.
Thanks, Robert. Yeah, it's a difficult one with smart meters, because a lot of people don't really understand. They think it's the thing that goes in the box, the thing that goes into the cupboard, if you like, but it's not. It's the accessible in-home display that needs to be smart. So that's maybe important to remember when you're calling up. Make sure you're referring to the accessible in-home display. Robert, great to hear from you. Let's get another email in then, and hopefully we'll come back to this issue, I'm sure, in future weeks. But let's get another email first, Andy.
Hello again, says Ennis. Some time ago, you featured an email from me and thought, understandably, as it can be both, that Ennis was a man's name. But not always. I am female.
What have you done, Andy?
Ennis, I could only apologise. It's all Stephen's fault, really.
Stop offending our listeners, you.
I'll leave that to you. In a recent podcast, you mentioned Ira, so I thought I would write to let you know my experience. Mm-hmm. A while ago, Ira was tested in the UK with support from Tesco and guide dogs. My partner, Tony, and I were invited to take part in the trial, most of which took place in a large Tesco store. Tony is visually impaired but has a lot of useful vision, so I didn't really need help to pick out items. However, it would be very helpful to him when trying to read road signs, notice boards, etc. I have never been able to see, and for me, it was one of the best experiences of my life. I imagine it was like shopping as an independent, sighted person. The volunteer was excellent at directing me to the right grocery section and helping me find things such as soup, bread, milk, without any fuss. For example, I wanted mushroom soup, and I got it easily. I read somewhere that Ira is being used in the US, but gather that there is a price to pay depending on the level of service that you require. Whilst I realise that all services can't be free, I hope that the cost to blind users will be realistic when it comes to the UK. Stephen, you haven't mentioned your Braille classes recently.
Oh, right, okay.
Not long now until the promised iOS update. Well, there we go. That's how odd the
email is. That dates the email a bit, yeah.
iOS 13 is out now. Best wishes to all of the team, the very female Ennis.
Wow, I've got a picture of her now in my mind. Thanks, Ennis.
I think we've got trouble coming with you, Andy, if you try that one again.
I apologise, yes, Ennis.
Okay, so a couple of things to unpack from that. My Braille class, yeah, I haven't talked about it because it finished, it was done. I'm just kind of getting on with it, although there is a new advanced class starting soon, so I'm looking forward to joining that. Mm-hmm. I'll maybe talk more about that in the coming weeks when I know more about what that involves, but I'm hoping it's going to reflect more on computer Braille, because that's something that will help me along with a lot of the Braille display stuff. So, yeah, interesting. As for Ira, though, Robin, it's a bit of a difficult one, this, because Ira was here as a trial, as Ennis says, and then it had gone away, and it seems to have not come back. So
yeah, surely it's only a matter of time that it's going to be available here in the UK. It's in Australia. It's, you know, it's in a lot of countries. Yeah. Not sure. I think you have to have sufficient infrastructure on the ground. You know, you have to have an office and a team and possibly local volunteers, I don't know. Or, sorry, not volunteers, professional expert guides,
yeah,
online
it's not
guides.
In my eyes, no. It's,
yeah, so, yeah, but there has been some clarification in recent days and weeks about the 5 minutes free, which doesn't come here in the UK unless you already signed up, in which case you might be able to take advantage of that. But certainly, regardless
well,
of what...
You can.
I don't, yeah.
You can take part, you can take advantage of it, but the thing is, like you say, you have to have already signed up.
Yeah.
You can't sign up today, which is kind of annoying.
And everyone, whether you're on a free tier or a paid tier, gets the first 5 minutes of every call free.
Yeah. But again, you've got to be signed up.
Yeah.
So it's good. It'll come. But it's yeah. It's coming. I hope it does, because I think it would be a really useful service. Something I would certainly be happy to sign up to.
I think they're waiting for Apple Glasses.
You think so?
If I say it often enough, Apple Glasses, Apple Glasses,
yeah,
then it'll happen.
Is it like Beetlejuice? Is it? If we just keep saying it, then eventually it'll just happen. Right, okay. Don't say it again. Right. Let's get another email. We'll take one more for now.
Hello, Stephen, Robin and Andy. This is from Tracy.
I said hello to you.
I know. You, I live in Australia and I have the Samsung Series 5 TV. I have found it to be the best accessible product off the shelf. In Australia, we have our Samsung TVs with Netflix, fully accessible, Google Play Movies, accessible. YouTube, accessible. And the internet, mostly accessible. The free-to-air apps don't appear to be accessible, but the best thing is that you can plug in a hard drive and record, and this is accessible. I find this great. The only thing, that you can't delete programs via the TV. I assume that you have to plug in the hard drive into a PC and then delete them that way. All of the menus on the TV are accessible, and even being able to reset the TV if something goes wrong, even that's accessible. So for anyone who is looking for something to be accessible and that can record, then this is it. Keep up the good work. Smiley face, smiley face. That's from Tracy.
Well, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
All the way there in Australia. Yeah, I must admit the Samsung TVs are pretty good at this. They've done well, and that seems to be a fairly universal trait. Like you say, you know, Amazon, Netflix in the UK, those are all accessible through that device. YouTube, that's interesting. I haven't tried that on the Series 5. That's very interesting, but good to know. And, of course, here you can get the full electronic program guide, which I guess for you is also accessible, but, you know, you can also add on the hard drive for recording. So that's, yeah, that's good. That's really good. Nice to hear. Do you know what? Let's take one more email, because I'm so keen to get through these emails. Let's get one more.
This one is from Sunil. Hi, guys. Thanks for the great show. I'd be interested to hear how you and other listeners use navigation and GPS apps to get around in unfamiliar areas. Even though I've got Blind Square, Soundscape, Nearby Explorer Online, Seeing Assistant Move, Google Maps and Apple Maps on my iPhone.
I was going to say, running all the same time.
Yes. I don't feel confident.
Red hot phone.
I don't feel confident enough to have a stab at an unfamiliar route, even a short one. The other day I was in London for a meeting. The office was a 10-minute walk from the tube. I'd like to think that I could have found the tube with the array of apps that I've got, but I've no idea what combination to use to get turn-by-turn instructions and be told if I turned down the wrong street. So I ended up just paying for a taxi instead. Also, can you recommend something that would let me hang my phone around my neck so I don't have to hold it in my hand or put it into my pocket? I don't always carry a bag with me, so I don't have that option. I have no useful vision and I use a long cane. I look forward to hearing any ideas. Cheers from Sunil.
Well, Sunil, thank you for that. Yeah, it is. I'll be honest, I don't know if there is a combination that's perfect. I think there are various combinations people use. Blind Square, Apple Maps, I think, is, or Google Maps is often a common one.
Lazarillo seems to be better for giving you updates while you're on bus trips.
Yeah, good on buses, yeah. But what about walking? I mean, yeah. What do you do when you're walking?
Blind Square, probably, unless if it's lower risk, I'm in a relatively familiar area, I'll just use Apple Maps and I'll use the watch to tap me on the wrist when it's time to turn. And if I want reassurance about where I'm turning and in exactly how many yards, then I would raise my wrist. So, yeah, a combination of things. But and Clue, I think we've covered this before, CLEW, has a very different approach. It uses AR to try and measure your trips. And I've been working a lot with the guys there. So I would strongly recommend that for indoor use where GPS doesn't have that same coverage. So, yeah, those are really good. I've got a recommendation for a lanyard, if that would help.
Please.
So holding your phone out in front of you, either for using the camera with an IRA call, for example, or Be My Eyes, or if you are using Clue, that requires having it in front of you, or if you just want it your hands free while you're using Blind Square or one of those other ones. The one that I found, Rocon Trip, that's R-O-C-O-N Trip, Rocon Trip, 2-in-1 lanyard cell phone case holder. And then it has a great long string. This is on Amazon afterwards for iPhone 8, iPhone 7, iPhone 6 Plus, Max, all of this. So it basically is resizable. And you might want to give that one a go for a really good recommendation for how to carry that around your neck. £7.29 here in the UK.
And you can get ones as well that attach onto your chest, can't you? You can have them so that it's almost like it goes right around your chest and you can lock the phone on. Because yep. I'd be very wary about wandering around. I know that you, and we found this out last week, and I don't know if we'll get to the emails, of utter horror and shock of you sort of handing over your bank card. If you didn't hear this last week, I have to say, you've got to go back and listen. Robin, when he goes to an ATM, just hands his card to the next person in the queue and says, here's my PIN number. and happy days. Please empty my account, or whatever it is he says.
It's a testament to the honesty of people in the UK. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping we all get, because that will convey the full horror in people's own words as to my...
Oh, yeah, they were shocked. This is not... This is
wayward behaviour.
We've never had to have one of those do not try this at home things, you know, little jingle that goes, do not try this at home. But we kind of needed that one there, because I am horrified by that. I am horrified.
I think you'll find, if you go back and listen, that I did say, don't try this at home. Don't
you did,
do this
but,
yourself.
But you'd already said before that,
too bad.
You should try this.
People are nice.
Try it. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, people aren't. Some people are nice. Some people are nice. But yeah, we do have a few emails about that. We'll maybe try and get in before the end of the show. But yeah, what were we talking about? Sorry, I always throw
lanyards.
Myself. Lanyards, yes. So lanyard, good suggestion from Robin there. Yeah, let us know how you got on. And yeah, like I say, you can get the chest ones as well. Again, they're on Amazon, just chest mount for iPhone. You get them for GoPros as well, all that kind of thing. But, you know, again, good if you want to make sure the phone is secure on you. Again, another great opportunity for Apple glasses.
Yep. I was so tempted to say that.
Yeah, well, it's true, isn't it? Okay, well, thank you for that. Look, we'll come back to more emails, I promise, before the end of the show. But right now...
News from the internet.
Yes, lots and lots of news happening at the moment. And I want to talk about Amazon, first off, because Amazon have got an event coming. My credit card is scared again, because apparently they're going to bring out new stuff. I love it when companies bring out stuff. Last year, they brought out 12 stuffs, and it was incredible. They brought out a clock and a microwave and all kinds of nonsense. And a lot of this, some of it's starting to get over here to the UK. Not all of it has. The microwave, I don't think, is on sale here yet, which is kind of annoying, because it was about a 60 quid microwave.
$50, I think.
Was it $50? And you could get, and what was brilliant about it, of course, was it worked with the Echo Dots. You could chuck a jacket potato into the microwave and say, Lady A, you know, cook my potato, and it would just go off and do it. I love that. So, yeah, that's good. The clock, pointless to us. Who cares, right? It doesn't tell the time. It doesn't tell the time in audio form. It only says it in visual. So, Andy, you can buy one.
Oh, okay.
You can get on with it. Buy one, tell us what you think. But it is that is available here, which is interesting. My question is, they're going to launch new products, probably new Echo Dots, although there are concerns that they may not. Because the new ones have only been out a year, and they don't tend to refresh them that often. So what are they going to launch at this event, Robin? What do you think is likely to be shown?
Well, I mean, just to fill out the context, they also had an event earlier in the year where they released loads of different Fire TVs, from a stick to a massive TV to a sound bar. And so, yeah,
and
these
cube.
Products.
The Cube's finally
yeah.
here.
Yep. Coming
Which
thick
actually,
and
but
fast.
Listen, I'll tell you this. I think the Cube... could be a brilliant product for us. For those of us who've been saying for a long time, trying to access and use a Skybox is very difficult. I did see in the description that it does work with Sky TV, which I think is quite interesting. So maybe, you know, you could talk to Lady A and she can change it to watch Coronation Street or whatever it is you want to do.
Absolutely. The integration is first class there, and there are some good webinar demos that Amazon have put out there about that. So yeah, definitely looking to that. But yeah, I mean, you're right, 12 products the last time at this equivalent event last year. In the invitation, it said there are going to be new products by the A-Lady, don't want to say her name, Echo, Ring, and more. Now, why they've separated out the A-Lady and Echo as two separate things might mean that we'll get some new cylinders. In fact, we know we will. Bigger, beefier ones with, you know, ultra high definition sound. The A-Lady enabled other things, maybe in the more category. And the Ring, obviously, is the doorbells that we know about. I'm holding out, get this, Amazon glasses.
Oh, come on.
I am.
You're obsessed with glasses.
I am. We know for a fact that they're working on them. Look, it's a race. Who's going to come out with decent glasses first? I'm so tempted to pull the trigger on some Bose glasses.
You think I'd bring them out with a camera, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can't wait for this event now.
Yeah. But no, I mean, am I confident that they will? But I'm an optimist. I'm always an optimist. And, you know, it's going to really...
We know, you give your PIN number to anyone.
yeah, absolutely. I would give my PIN number to someone if they could get me some Amazon glasses. So, yeah, glasses before the end of the year from someone. with a camera.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you're right. Okay,
it's so the more
Bose were first, weren't they? Bose came out with the AR frames.
Yeah, and no camera, but yeah,
no camera, but you know, gave us something which was rather interesting from an audio perspective. I think it would be interesting to see a camera from, and I will say one thing: if Amazon do come up with that, it will be a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. That's for sure, because it's not going to be Apple prices. So that's interesting. I think so. Two things. I think one, I got an email Sunday night from Amazon. I mean, I say it as if I'm the only person in the world who got this email, right? Everyone got this email.
Dear Stephen.
Yeah, dear Stephen. It did say dear Stephen, but I think that's probably one of these dear insert name here emails.
Dear valued customer.
Yeah, dear valued person. I should be a valued customer with my money I spend with them.
Dear higher tier purchasing customer.
Well, I got this email and it said, so you like Amazon Music, do you? I'm like, yeah. Would you like better quality Amazon Music? And I thought, yeah, okay. Why not sign up to Amazon Music HD? So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. So the first thing that runs through my mind is, well, hang on. They are going to be launching a better speaker.
Yes.
Because Amazon Music on Amazon, I mean, you know, I think the phrase wasp in a jar has been used to describe some of the Echo Dot sounds, especially the tiny little Echo Dots. The new ones are actually not too bad, in fairness. But, you know, they're not high quality audio. They're not Sonos. They're not even high. And even Sonos, they're not as good as the music can be better than that. So I think we're probably likely going to see some kind of super speaker, I think. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
We'll find out. But the other one is a robot. Ho-ho. I want a robot.
It's coming. Probably,
I mean,
literally.
Who knows what is actually going to... It's what it's going to do. I have no idea. I don't know what the purpose of this thing will be. Will it just follow us around and talk to us? I quite like the idea of that. I mean, it could be a bit annoying. And at least if you don't like it, you can kick it down the stairs or whatever. You know, that's okay. It's a robot. You can do that. Can't do that with people. Just I want to put that out there.
Or pets,
yeah, exactly, not allowed.
We have in the past seen robots that would trundle around after people and would have expressions on their little screen and make funny noises and stuff. And primarily they did nothing, basically, other than look cute and maybe provide some, not moral support, you know, some mental support for people who have anxiety difficulties, etc.
Well, yeah, support. Now, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so for the older user, someone who's isolated, to have something that could be a friendly presence, but that had many more smarts than we've seen of these little companion robots in the past. So it might be as basic as that without having any
I don't know, though. I don't think that would be enough. I don't think enough to sell, because I know
if
what
it
you
was
mean.
Cheap enough.
Well, again, though... A medical purpose or, you know, that kind of health-related benefit, I can get it. I know what you mean by that, but I'm not entirely sure that's what they would do with this particular robot. They want it to be mass market. I think it's the smartest thing it could do would be able to go to the fridge, get me a drink, bring it back to me, and then, you know, it's little
open
wheels
the can
its,
for you.
Well, obviously. But, you know, also...
Fetch you the remote
little,
control.
Its little wheels could have a vacuum in there, and it could clean up as it goes along. I love this. We should have got in on the fixing this, you know. We could have built this thing. I'd be like, yeah, you ever saw the episode of Simpsons where Homer Simpson builds the car?
Don't do TV.
You don't do TV, but we do.
Yes.
You know the one I mean, Andy.
I do, yes. It's Hank, his brother, isn't it?
Hank,
if
his brother,
my
and...
Simpsons correctly.
Yeah, and he builds a car and it's a complete disaster.
Yeah.
Because he builds it for him and no one else. No, I think this is an interesting idea. Again, I don't know what it does. We don't know anything at this point. We don't know if there will be a robot, so it could all be utter nonsense. But I am intrigued by some of this.
25th of September is that event, and I do think that there will be a robot if the rumour mill, which is, you know, there are quite a lot of rumours about it, so yeah, we'll find out then.
But like I said at the top, Amazon are very good at keeping quiet, so I don't know if that's going to...
I can't find any leaks online at all. The only search for robots is the robots that are starting to deliver stuff around Southern California, so like instead of a man in a van, it'll be a little robot delivering you something. But that's not going to be what they're going to be announcing, because that's already something they've announced. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about Texture Pro, because Texture Pro is happening in November. And Robin, tickets still available?
Yes, so we have very limited tickets left. This is aimed at both end users and IT professionals, employers, accessibility champions, anyone that's interested in inclusive design, accessible tech. So TechShare Pro, gosh, I should have found out how many years it's been running now. Several years.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's a kind of a offshoot of TechShare, the RNIB, fantastic institution that's been going a lot longer. So TechShare Pro, it's going to be held in the really swanky Google offices in King's Cross in London, 20th and 21st of November. So get in quickly if you want to buy tickets. If you just search for TechShare, all one word, Pro, then you'll jump on that website very easily. There are lots of really cool speakers confirmed already. Apple, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, all the big boys are there. They're all going to be spilling the beans on what they're available.
So you've got Apple walking into a Google building. Will the building explode? I mean, that just sounds like, I don't know, it sounds like the end of the world's about to happen.
Who knows? I mean, the strapline of Google is do no evil. So, you know, they'll be safe entering those premises. So.
No, it sounds like it's a brilliant event.
Really good.
We were there last year.
We were, yeah.
Yeah, we were all there. Three of us were there. Yes, so we're hoping we'll all be there again this year, especially for the Google buildings, see if they notice a phone or two go missing.
Have you been inside the Google building, Stephen?
No.
Have you been in, Robin?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course he has.
But don't ask me what it's like.
It looks gorgeous.
It does, passing by it, yeah. It's near King's Cross, yeah.
Okay, so... Well, there we go. That's the news. But let's focus now on Ask Tech Talk. This week we have a question from one of our listeners. Ask Tech Talk is exactly that. It's about you getting in touch with your questions, no matter how big, how small. If you think they're silly, don't be silly. There's no such thing as a silly question here. Like I've said before, you'll need to listen to the show to know how silly we can be. So, let's get our question from our listener this week.
This week's Ask Tech Talk question comes from Peter. He says, I heard you mention this feature, which I am sure will be really popular. Quite a while ago, Stephen mentioned a book scanner, which he had bought. I'd value help on the best choices here, but again, trying to avoid spending money as I'm having an operation which might recover some sight to enable me to read printed material without the need for an OCR. Thanks again, and look forward to hearing the answers. That's from Pete.
Well, let's get the answer from Ben Rendell from RNIB's Technology for Life team.
Hi there, Peter. Ben here from RNIB's Technology for Life team. In response to your question regarding book scanners, there are a wide variety of devices and tools available to help you with this. Just depends on the sort of thing you're looking for, really. Firstly, if you have a smartphone, then it would be worth looking into one of the apps available that can do this for you. These apps include Seeing AI, Envision AI, KNFB Reader, TextGrabber and Prisma. Some of these are available for iPhones only, Android only, or for both. Some of them are also free and some of them are also paid. If you are considering using one of these apps with your phone, it might be worth investing in a stand that your phone can go on top of. You can usually buy these for around £27 from Amazon, and the most commonly used one is the Giraffe Reader stand. The reason to use this sort of stand would be if you were scanning multiple documents or pages of a book. It means that you don't have to keep repositioning your phone every time. It also means that your phone is the correct distance away from the document or the book, meaning you get the most accurate results possible. Next, if you want a separate device, but still something that's portable and pocket-sized, you would be best looking at the Blaze ET Player, available from RNIB for £575. Basically, with this device, you just point it at the text or the book that you want to read and press one button, and it's then all read out to you. This device also has the function to play books, music, podcasts, and radio. Next would be looking at something that is slightly bigger, but is still portable. You have the Smart Reader HD, which is available for £1,495. This does have a handle on it, for you to carry it around, but it is not pocket sized. So you'd probably want to use the carry handle to move it from room to room, possibly, or to move it from place to place. But it's not something you would necessarily carry about with you day to day. The advantage of this is that you just place a book or a document underneath it and you have one simple button to press. The document is then read out loud to you in a nice, clear voice. You have a variety of languages and voices to choose from with this as well. The operation of it is nice and simple. It only has a small variety of buttons. And the buttons it does have are clearly marked and easy to find. As well, if you want to see what's going on, you can connect an external monitor to it. And as well, if you want privacy or you don't want to annoy the people around you, then it does have a headphone socket so you can plug a set of headphones in. You can purchase this from Sight and Sound Technology or Enhanced Vision. Another device that is very similar to this is the Clear Reader Plus. You can purchase this for £1,895. And it's a similar advantages to the previous device. You press one button for it to scan. It also has a wide variety of voices and languages available if that's what you're looking for. It also has the handle, making it nice and easy to move from room to room. You can purchase this from Optelec or Sight and Sound. You can also purchase the OmniReader, which similarly as the other devices has a lot of the similar functions. This is priced at £1,595. Another thing to note with the previous three devices I've mentioned is these do have batteries, so they don't have to be constantly plugged in. So you could charge it up and then move it to another room where there isn't necessarily a power source. You can purchase the OmniReader from Sight and Sound. Another option that's available to you is that you can purchase software to go on your computer and then connect a camera to it. For example, you can purchase something called the Pearl Camera with OpenBook software. This connects to your computer. You use the software to take a picture of whatever it is you want to scan, the book or the document, and that's done on the computer for you. This can also help as it means that your scans can be saved for you to go back to later. I hope this information has been helpful. If you require any further help or assistance, feel free to contact the Technology for Life team.
Ben Rendell there from the Technology for Life team with an exhaustive list of options.
Can I jump in?
It's brilliant. Yeah.
So just at the end there, he got onto the computer-based scenarios, and obviously there is desktop scanners as well as cameras that you can attach to your computer. For books with where the text goes into the spine, so for big, thick books, they're not quite as good as the cameras. And just he mentioned at the beginning some really good apps for iOS and Android, VoiceStream Scanner. We covered it recently. I don't think you mentioned that one. And finally, to get best results, ideally you wouldn't touch the phone to take photos. And some of them have voice-enabled controls, so you can just say, take a picture. And we covered voice control in iOS 13 last week, and you can do that now too. So even if it doesn't have a voice-taking feature, just use your voice after you've turned on voice control to tap that take button each time.
Ah, very nice. Okay, using all the features there. Right, okay. Right, I think we've got a couple more emails, Andy. These ones are aimed at Robin, I believe.
Yeah, can I just quickly mention that if anyone's listening and they do have a technology question, they can contact the Technology for Life team on 0303 123 9999.
Such a swat.
I'll just jump that in there. So, yes, this first one is from Andy, and it's not from me. I was rather horrified last week to hear Robin's disclosure on how many times he has handed his card and PIN number details to strangers to help him get money from an ATM. My understanding is that if anything fraudulent to occur. As a result of this, the credit card company would not be supportive because one thing, all they say is to never reveal your PIN number to anybody else. Whilst I admire Robin's faith in humankind, I do feel it's rather naive to believe that the potential muggers would not target the disabled because of our additional vulnerability. Muggers are not looking for a fair challenge. They are looking for precisely for opportunity and vulnerability. They'd rather not be caught, you know, Robin. That's from Andy.
Oof. Oh, harsh words. Oof. Andy.
I just want to thank Andy for driving that message home. Totally don't do this at home, guys. I'm extremely lucky to be married to someone that has a working pair of eyes. So in recent years, that hasn't been common at all. And cashback's a thing, which it didn't used to be quite so common. So yeah, but don't do this at home, guys.
Yeah. That's aimed at you, by the way. Right, okay. Yeah. We've got another one on this similar vein.
The subject line for this from Rod just reads, horror.
Yeah. We don't really need to read anymore, do we?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hi, Stephen. Just to add to the torrent of responses to Robin's ATM strategy. Firstly, unless you are employing people in the black economy, there is very little need to pay with cash these days. If I need cash, I go to a supermarket and I buy something small and I get cash back. I use online banks, which give an instant notification on my phone, so I know if I've been charged the correct amount or with a withdrawal from an ATM is correct. I use Starling Bank, which also rates as the best debit card to use overseas. Tandem credit cards similarly. Guess this is not really the stuff for Tech Talk, but that's from Rod anyway.
That's actually a good point. I mean, you know, that's true in a lot of ways. I mean, getting cash out is less of a thing for me. Mm-hmm. I tend not to do it. I will say as well, I used a talking ATM a couple of weeks back for the first time, which sounds shocking, I know, but I did, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was an amazing experience. The process was swift, it was quick, and it worked really, really well. I was so impressed by it. So maybe try those out as well. Robin.
And I just want to reiterate on the Starling Bank, that is the only, because we have done research on this very recently because our son is now literally at the other end of the world down in Tonga. It's, as far as we could tell, the only bank that would give you a card where you could withdraw money anywhere in the world without a hefty charge associated with that. So yeah, he's using ATMs, hopefully safely, around the world.
Is that a bank account or a credit card?
It's a bank, and you get a credit card with it.
Okay.
Starling Bank.
Very interesting. Well, there we go. That is it for our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. Keep your emails coming in, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. On next week's show, we will, of course, be focusing on Amazon, the event, all of what's been announced.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be
glasses.
Joined by glasses, yes. Well, hopefully, robots. That's what I want. Robots that do cleaning. And also, we'll have David Woodbridge back with us again. He's going to be talking about some lovely new features he's been finding in iOS 13, and I'm sure he's been buying as well. So that's all to come on next week's show. For now, though, Robin Christofferson, as always, from AbilityNet. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, and thanks to Andy.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, chat to you both next week.
Bye.
Cheers, guys.